talking K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. And my guest today is Dr. Brian Lubbers. He is the Associate Professor in Food Animal Therapeutics at K-State. Good morning.
Morning, Brandon.
Pleasure to have you on here. Tell us a little bit about kind of your work at K-State first off, and we'll get into our topic.
Sure. So I am in a position where my primary responsibility is actually outreach. So I have the opportunity to work with veterinarians and producers both in the state of Kansas and nationally, a little bit internationally, on topics that relate to really antibiotics in food animals, but anything that's a therapy in a food-producing animal is under my umbrella of responsibility. And then I also teach some of the veterinary students here at the college, as well as do some research in that area of food animal therapeutics.
All right. So how long have you been with K-State?
In total, I've been here about 12 years in this role, almost two now.
Okay. Manhattan native, or are you from somewhere else?
I'm actually from Kansas, South Central Kansas. I'm a Kansas-born native. I've lived here, went to vet school here, graduated from the college in 2002, and then was in private practice in California and Iowa for a few years, and then came back to a faculty position here and do some research, and been here ever since.
All right. Well, awesome. You know, and obviously the College of Veterinary Medicine, well-respected. There's a lot of good work that goes on there. And you mentioned antibiotics. That's kind of going to be the topic of our conversation here today. You wrote an article last February, I think it was, for Progressive Cattle on the future of antibiotics in beef production. First, before we dive in too far into that, how would you say the use of antibiotics in beef cattle specifically has changed over the years, and maybe some of the challenges right now that producers have?
Sure. I mean, this is obviously an area that's in the news a lot, and for good reason. I think there's a lot of consumer interest in how antibiotics are used, and probably even more broadly, just how their food is raised. But what we've seen is kind of stemming out of that. Certainly, there's been a lot of regulatory changes. So we've had some new laws that have come into effect in the last few years that, you know, impact how antibiotics can or can't be used in food production. You know, and some of the challenges with that, you know, any time you have a new regulation, there's always a bit of transition into that. The big one recently, probably the one that most people are familiar with, were changes to the Veterinary Feed Directive. So that's a legislation on antibiotics that are used in animal feeds. And that went into place a few years ago, and really the big change for that is now any time a beef producer, or really any food animal, an antibiotic is used through the feed, then that producer has to have an authorization for a veterinarian. And so obviously that was some transition there, but I think it's gone well. Certainly initially lots of questions about how to do that and how to go about that, and even just the logistics of, you know, how do I authorize this veterinary feed directive? But we've moved past that, and I think the compliance with that is really, really good, and some positive changes come out of that regulation. So,
all right. And you mentioned the consumer aspect of it. We want to make sure that the food we're buying is the purest form of food that we can buy on the shelves. And so there are a lot of questions usually come into, you know, what kind of medications, hormones are going into each animal, and I think consumers have a right to know that, don't they?
Sure. And there are lots of questions about labeling. Now, the labeling on food products, we know it can be confusing at times. I talk with not just veterinarians and producers, but also consumers, and, you know, hear those concerns about food production. I have a lot of faith, and I understand the drug development process and how products are moved from research and development and into clinical use in veterinary medicine. And certainly there are lots of safeguards that are maintained. That's really one of the primary responsibilities of the Food and Drug Administration, is to make sure that the products that they do approve are both safe for the animals that they're used in, but also the consumers that will be consuming those products as those animals move through the the food chain. So certainly I just want to reassure everybody there are lots in research and development that happens before those drugs are developed. And, you know, and we kind of talk about stewardship in the area of antibiotic resistance, but there's also the concerns about residues in food, as you brought up. And that's a piece, not just the research part of it, but then the ongoing monitoring that the USDA does and the testing that they do to make sure that the food animals that are entering the market chain are free of residues. So there's several steps along the way. Like I said, I am familiar with the science part of it and what goes on, and certainly have a lot of faith in the way that our food is raised here.
Here we're speaking with Dr. Brian Lubbers, again, Associate Professor with Food Animal Therapeutics at K-State. You mentioned here in the article, too, that the beef industry is going to be using less antibiotics in the future. And can you talk a little bit why the transition is going to be that way and kind of what's the thinking here?
Sure. And I think the overall thinking and, again, how it moves or what is driving the change are really twofold. There's the consumer concerns, and then there's the regulatory and the legislative aspect of that. We know that the FDA has a 5-year antibiotic stewardship plan for veterinary medicine, and one of their main tenets of that is to monitor how antibiotics are used and how much antibiotics are used. Again, that's in the recent past, actually through the past, that's been an area where we don't quite have all the information we'd like. Sometimes that information is hard to acquire, and what we have is sales data, which isn't great data for monitoring use at the individual animal level. But one of the key aspects of their stewardship plan is to continue that monitoring, and we know that certainly there have been calls and asks for a reduction in the use of antibiotics in food animals. That conversation has been happening for a long time in Europe. How exactly that's implemented and what those reductions will be, we don't know. We're still working through that transition, but we know it is coming in some way, shape, or form.
And there's a lot of different things, I guess, a producer has to monitor there if they have a big herd of cattle, and you know, there's all kinds of diseases that can be transmitted, I suppose. What are some common ones that you see as the cattle have to get immunized against?
Sure. Yeah, we know we do actually have that. So the USDA does surveys of the different production industries, so cattle, swine, poultry, dairy, and one of the part of that survey is to ask about specific disease challenges. We know in cattle that one of our primary disease considerations is respiratory disease or pneumonia. That's the biggest one, both for cattle moving from the farm and then through the production system and into feed yards. That's primarily our big disease challenge. But the other things that we see antibiotic use for, really a host of bacterial infections. So infections that affect the feet. So we have a disease condition called foot rot that producers here in the Flint Hills, they would see that on cows out in pasture. There's a infection of the eye called pink eye, so that would be a bacterial infection we would use antibiotics for on the dairy industry. Certainly mastitis is a big disease challenge for them. With swine and poultry, primarily respiratory diseases. So we think we have a pretty good handle on what those disease challenges are. And certainly depending on the specific situation, a veterinarian and producer might, you know, depending on how confident they are in what that particular disease challenge is, we do a lot of the same things that they do in human medicine. And so testing for those diseases, testing for susceptibility of those bacteria to different antibiotics, those are things that we would do here at the College of Veterinary Medicine to help assist those veterinarians and producers in making good decisions about the antibiotics that they're going to use.
I imagine as somebody who's studied a lot of medicine here, there's probably a lot of parallels you're drawing from the COVID-19 pandemic. Is there, let's say there's a nationwide outbreak of a certain disease going around farm animals. What parallels from this past year have you seen that could be applied here to animal health and medicine?
So we like to think that we, especially in food animal medicine, think in populations a lot. And that's certainly what we like to teach is thinking in systems. And so, yeah, it's actually been an interesting thing for us to follow with COVID-19. On the antibiotic side, again, with the things that I deal with, those are for bacteria, and so the viruses are kind of a different deal. Certainly, we have concerns about viruses. Everybody's seen in the media. You know, we're worried about foreign viruses coming in. We have NBAF and Pat Roberts Hall here that are doing research on those agents that we'd like to keep out of our country to protect our food animal industry. So, yeah, there actually are a lot of parallels between the two, between human and veterinary medicine.
All right, speaking with Dr. Brian Lubers here, again from K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. We'll pause, take a break here, but we'll have much more coming up. And as InFocus continues on a Monday morning on News Radio KMAN.